that this prayer will be answered. I'm sorry. And Heavenly Father, I want to ask you to have mercy upon each one of us who's on the line and those who will be participating and listening to the Bible class. Have mercy upon Sister Adrian, that she will present it to us, the things that she has studied, and that we will apply your word to our lives. And Father, thank you for everything that you have done for us and everything that you will do for us in the future. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Adelaide Fowler, for approaching the throne of grace on our behalf. And next we will have scripture reading, first by Sister Linda Newsom.
Praise the name of Christ Jesus, sisters. Scripture text is taken from Genesis, the 9th chapter, verses 9 through 14. Genesis, the 9th chapter, 9 through 14. I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be cut off by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, may the Lord bless the reader, and doers of his holy and divine word. Thank you, sisters.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Linda, for reading God's holy word. And next we will have a scripture reading by Sister Beverly White.
Good evening, sisters. Our second scripture on tonight is coming from Ezekiel 1:28. That's the NIV version, Ezekiel 1:28, and it reads, as the appearance of the rainbow and the clouds on a rainy day, so was the appearance of the surrounding radiance. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord, and when I saw it, I fell on my face and heard a voice speaking. May the Lord bless the hearers and doers of his words. Thank you, sisters.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Beverly Wright, for approaching the Holy Throne, no, for reading the second scripture. Excuse me. All right, next we will have song praise by Sister Lottie Holcomb.
Good evening, sisters. And thank you for hosting, Sister Lisa McIntyre.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Here goes. There's a call come ringing over restless waves. Send a light. Send a light. There are souls to save. Send a light. Send a light. Send a light. The blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send a light. The blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. We have heard the Macedonian call today. Send a light, send a light. And a golden offering at the cross we lay. Send a light, send a light, send a light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. Let us pray that grace may everywhere be bound. Send the light, send the light. And a Christ-like spirit everywhere be found. Send a light, send a light, send a light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send a light, the blessed gospel light. let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send a light, send a light. Let us gather jewels for a crown of love. Send a light, send a light. Send a light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send a light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Lottie, for singing that beautiful song. I love that song, Send the Light, the Blessed Gospel Light. All right. And next we will have our introduction of our speaker by Sister Dorothy Rouse Jenkins.
Good evening, sisters. It gives me great pleasure and honor to introduce our speaker tonight in the person of Sister Adrienne Jameson. Sister Adrienne Jameson was baptized into the body of Christ August 27, 1966 by the late evangelist Brother Booker T. Martin at the 21st Avenue Church of Christ in her hometown of Gary, Indiana. Sister Adrienne has taught Sunday school, Wednesday night Bible class, vacation Bible school, and worked with youth ministry for nearly 50 years. Sister Adrienne is a widow and has two adult sons, Anthony and Andrew. She worshiped at the Harvest Church of Christ in Tony, Alabama. She dearly loves the Lord, and her passion is studying God's Word. Sister Adrienne has been a lady prayer warrior for 9 years. She is a dedicated member of the health team, the benevolence team, life stream and happening team, and the prison sick and shut-in team. Sister Adrienne is no stranger to our Friday night Bible series. She has spoken on many different topics to uplift, encourage, and strengthen her Lady Prayer Warrior sisters. Without further ado, I present to some and introduce to others our very own Lady Prayer Warrior sister, Adrienne Jameson.
Good evening, my sisters. Thank you all for calling in. Thank you. Sisters, I want to thank each and every program participant, our host, Sister Lisa McIntyre, our opening prayer done by Sister Adelaide Fowler, scripture reading by Sister Linda Newson and Sister Beverly White. Song praise, Sister Lottie, you did that song. Send the light. It was beautiful. Sisters, as you know, our theme for the month of April is God Sent a Rainbow. God Sent a Rainbow. As a subtopic, I have chosen Rules of the Game. Rules of the Game. Sisters, we're going to begin with the story of Noah. And don't worry, I'm going somewhere with this. The story of Noah's preservation in the ark is a suggestive representation of salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. It is especially intended to depict that part of our salvation which lies in the washing of regeneration. In the same way as baptism is the outward symbol of regeneration, so also was the ark, wherein 8 souls were saved, literally by water. The ark was immersed in those dreadful rains which consumed the earth. And Noah's family buried in that ark to all the world. But by this burial, they were floated, if you will, out of the old covenant
out of the old condemned world into the new world of life and grace. Death to the world and burial in the ark were their means of safety. God chose Noah to be instrumental in this regenerated world. And there was nothing special about Noah, nothing at all. Noah, if you didn't know it, Noah was an alcoholic sinner. Yet our God, in his infinite wisdom, used him. Sisters, God will use and can use anybody. So, sisters, I got a question for you tonight. And yes, here I go with my questions. If you were, say, a reporter at a newspaper and had the responsibility of picking tomorrow's headlines regarding Noah's situation, what would your headline be? Some may say, God destroys the world in the flood. Some may say, God chose a drunkard to save the world. Or even, man says God told him to build a boat. We can come up with probably 100 headlines. But sisters, after much prayer and hours of studying God's word, let me tell you what my headline would be. God gives humans a second chance. There is absolutely no indication in the Bible, at least I've never read it, where Noah asked God for a covenant to seal the deal, to keep his promise and never destroy the earth by water again. It was Almighty God that came up with the rainbow as a sign of his promise. He says, I now establish my covenant, or promise, if you will, with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. Genesis 9, verses 10. Sisters, that covenant was to Noah. It was to you and me. And if we pay attention, we'll discover a vital principle regarding the possibility of spiritual renewal or a new beginning. And yes, that was our theme a few months ago. He came up with a new beginning for every age in any situation. You know, we'll find that more and more in the meaning of the rainbow. As I just stated, we can find a new beginning. We can even find the significance and true meaning of the cross itself within the rainbow. A new beginning is discussed throughout Genesis chapter 9. It is a complete breakdown of a new beginning. Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. The fear and dread of what you will fall upon, all the beasts of the earth and all of the birds of the air, upon every creature that moves along the ground, and upon all the fish in the sea. They are given into your hands. Everything that lives and moves will be food for you. Just as I give you the green plants, I now give you everything. If this verse sounds familiar to you, sisters, that's because it's a repeat of what God said to Adam and Eve in the garden, Genesis 1:28. This is simply Eden all over again, and the rainbow symbolizes that. God's commission to Noah and his family was to spread out across the earth and reestablish human civilization. Noah is to become the patriarch of a huge clan of people that will eventually branch out to form all the tribes and various nations on earth. Just as Adam was head of the human race, in the beginning, Noah is now the head of the new human race after the flood. Everything flows from him through his three sons. And if that weren't more than enough, God adds one significant permission. Humans are given the permission to use animals for food. Now, evidently, before the flood, everybody was a vegetarian. At least, that's my opinion. That's what I get out of that scripture. Now, that's my own opinion, as I said. But now, it is permissible to hunt animals for food and to raise animals for meat. This is a vital truth in these verses. God will not be defeated by human sin, not even by sin as gross as what we're living in today, sisters. We have to realize the sin we're living with today, the same type of sin, sisters, brought on the flood, the great flood. Your sin may seem, and this is from a human point of view, strictly, your sin may seem to hinder God's plans, or somehow, you know, sometimes we think God is going to make exceptions for us. Not so, sisters. I stopped by here to tell you on tonight, beloved sisters, nothing we do is going to delay God's plans or wrath. It may take days, months, years, even generations, but in the end, God's will be done. Besides what God has spoken, it must come to pass. It's going to come to pass. Isaiah 55:11 tells us that God's word will not return to him void. You know, no evil done by man can spoil the plans of the Almighty God. This truth, though, is hugely, it's encouraging, sisters, because it gives us hope. It gives us hope when we royally mess up or when we sin. We wonder why and may secretly think that God is through. That God is through with us because of our sin. You may think I've sinned too much. God will never forgive me. God isn't going to give me a second chance. Not so, my sisters. Those who say that, they know too much about their sin and too little about our God. Isaiah 55:7 contains a wonderful invitation, if you will, to those who feel their sin is too great to be forgiven. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. My sisters, please know and understand that our God freely pardons. The King James Version says he will abundantly pardon. I really like that. It's exactly what I need, especially when I've strayed, when I've fallen, when I make a mess of my life. I need a God who will abundantly pardon me. With God, there is always, sisters, always the possibility of a new beginning. Does not the word of God tell us in, I believe it's Romans 8:1? Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Now we all, sisters, we all have gone through periods in our lives when we think that because of our past sins that God somehow won't forgive us. All of us have been through that. But we've got to let go of our sins. Surely we can let go of our sins after we follow God's instructions to confess our sins. And when you confess your sins, sister, it's so easy, but we make it difficult. When you confess your sins, you simply have to say, Father, I have sinned. Forgive me. I repent. Please, Father, throw this sin into the sea of forgetfulness. In Jesus' name, I do pray. You know, if God can forgive us, sisters, we ought to be able to forgive ourselves. This thinking comes directly, straight from the enemy. And sisters, I well know what our topic is, and we're going to get there. But as Sister Dorothy Rouse Jenkins says, I've got to lay a foundation. Genesis 9:4-7 says, but you must not eat meat that has its life's blood in it. And for your life's blood, I will surely demand an accounting. Let me read that again, sisters. The Lord Almighty says, but you must not eat meat that has its life's blood still in it. And for your life's blood, I will surely demand an accounting. I will demand an accounting from every animal. Now, that passage of scripture, sisters, I'm still working on that. It's still a bit confusing to me, but that is what the scripture says. And from each man, too, I will demand an accounting for the life of his fellow man. Whatever sheds the blood, or I should say, whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God hath God made man. And just a little sidebar here, sisters. These scriptures were the basis for the death penalty. They were used for the basis of the death penalty. But that all of that is for another time. As for you, be fruitful and increase in number. God is talking to Noah. Multiply on the earth and increase upon it. Again, Genesis 9, verses 4 through 7. In these verses, Noah now learned the rules of the game. If God is going to start over again, Noah needs to know what the rules are, right? These verses tell us there is basically only one rule. And that one rule, I say simply, but it's not at all simple. But the one rule is respect life. The rule is applied, now this rule, respecting of life, is applied in two sub-rules. Well, first, as I've read to you, God said, don't eat living animals. That's the meaning of verse 4, which sounds a little strange to our ears, doesn't it? In order to understand it, you know, when I read or I study the scriptures, well, especially Genesis, I have to put the word pulsate in the scriptures. And I'll tell you why. If a heart is beating, it's still alive. Since God now gives permission to eat animals for food, he adds the restriction that they must first be put to death and the blood drained from them. This would seem to be good advice in any case. Now, it's very difficult to eat a steak while it's still attached to a living cow. And even harder to eat a living pork chop. This text anticipates the later biblical instruction that the life of the flesh is in the blood. It's found in Leviticus 17 and 11. Excuse me. The blood carries the pulse of life. When an EMT worker arrives at the scene of an accident, one of the first things he does is check the pulse. If they get a pulse, they know the person is still alive. The point of first killing the animal, draining the blood, and then eating it is to show respect for God, who gave life in the first place. The beautiful rainbow, sisters, should remind us of these things. And that's why it's so important. It's so important, sisters, to read your Bible. Ask God to grant you discernment. He will do it. The second sub-rule is very relevant to our day. Murderers should be put to death. This is the plain meaning of verses 5 through 6. If a man sheds the blood of another man by the hand of man, his own blood should be shed. Life for life. If you kill, you will be killed. If you murder, you will be put to death. If you show such vile disrespect for human life that you murder it, then you simply forfeited your right to your own life. This reason given for this rule is crucial. Verse 6 says, it is because man is made in the image of God. Think about that for a second, sisters. Man is made in the image of God. That means that every boy, every girl, every teenager, every adult, every mother, every father, every uncle, every aunt, every grandfather, every grandmother, every friend, and guess what? Every enemy, every neighbor, and every acquaintance, every coworker, every classmate, everyone we know, everyone we meet, everyone in the world is made in the image of Almighty God. That in and of itself requires respect, or demands respect. To put it stronger, God made each one of these in his own image. He stamped all of us and each of us with his divine image. Now, we were each created with the ability to know God, to love him, and to serve him. We were made with an inner desire to know our Creator. And sisters, I do not digress. I know what the theme is. You know, that separates us forever from the dogs, the cats, the mews, the robins, the beetles, the rabbits, the whales, the gophers, and yes, the chimpanzees. That right there dispels Darwin's theory that we originated from apes. Those creatures are creatures, nothing more and nothing less. But humans are made in God's image. That makes each of us unique, valuable, and worthy. Worthy of respect and honor and protection. And that image of God means that human life in and of itself is valuable. And you know what? God takes it seriously. I don't know about you, sisters, but I take God's love seriously. I hope we all do. I take it seriously because he takes it seriously. We all understand that God is the source of life. He alone created the biblical foundation for loving and respecting him. He tells us in the scriptures how to deal with all manner of men. Murderers, Exodus 21:12. Working on the Sabbath, Exodus 35:2. Cursing and disrespecting your father and mother, Leviticus 29. Adultery, Leviticus 20:10. Sodomy, Leviticus 20:13. Rape, Deuteronomy 22:25. And even kidnapping, Exodus 21:16. It should be observed that each of these crimes constitutes an assault on God's law or on one of God's institutions, such as marriage and family, or upon a person created in the image of God. My sisters, we should think about all these things whenever we see a rainbow. Get familiar with these things. I cannot stress enough my desire for you to know the scriptures. Know the scriptures for yourself. But the real and the most astonishing element of a rainbow is that our God set it in the sky to remind us how sympathetic God's heart must be. Not only did he set it in the sky to remind us of his love and his promises, he set it in the sky to remind us that we are justified. Our salvation is justified by faith. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Romans 5:1. Habakkuk 2:4 says, "Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by faith." Romans 1:17 says, "For it is the righteous of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith." Romans 3:27 says, "Where then is boasting? Is it excluded? By what kind of law? Of works? No, but by the laws of faith." When we see a rainbow in the sky, sisters, think about the fact that God did and does, still does, everything in his power to exonerate us from our sins. And he did it, and he does it, because he loves his creation. My sisters, a rainbow is absolutely beautiful. Yes. But I submit to you on tonight that its real beauty is not only in the display of brilliant colors and bright colors. The real beauty is that it stands for so much more than colors and promises. Sisters, the lesson is yours. Thank you again for calling in to hear the lesson and to hear what God has put on my heart. And as always, my sisters, to God be the glory. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Adrienne and Jameson, for a wonderful lesson, the rules of the game. And if we didn't get something out of that, I don't know when we will. Next, we will have our closing prayer by Sister Rosalind Body.
Good evening, sisters. Pray with me. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing us to see this day, a day we've never seen before, and a day we'll never see again. Dear Lord, please forgive me of my sins so that this prayer will not be hindered. Thank you, God, for allowing us the opportunity to be on the call tonight. We're praying that each sister on the call gains something from the lesson that will improve their walk with thee. We're asking for prayers and healing of the sick if it's in keeping with thy will. Bless those who are grieving the loss of loved ones at this time. Help us, dear Father, to improve our walk with Thee, being what You would have us to be. Thank You, God, for being better to us than we've been to ourselves. Please continue to bless all of those under the sound of my voice. Give us all the things that we stand in need of. I ask all these blessings in Your darling Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Rosa, for closing out us in a word of prayer and approaching the throne of grace on our behalf. And now we will have remarks from our admin.